listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. And I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Got just a few more minutes here before morning prayer at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. And one question that came in during that last hour, which really wasn't about the text proper, and so I didn't really want to address it because it's not really about John chapter 5, but it's a much broader question. We call it a systematic question, a question about how we understand Christianity in the present age today. And so I thought I'd just try to take a minute here and give you a taste of at least how I look at this one. Although this is certainly, if there's a debatable topic out there, it's one that is debated across and throughout the Christian denominations and even within Lutheran history. So here's the question. Sam asks this. He says, what is the role of healing, if any, in ministry today? That's a pretty broad question just taken as it is, because that word healing could apply to all number of things, right? I mean, it could apply to the absolution that the pastor gives you when you're confessing your sins. Yeah, it could apply to the healing of conscience that comes as you kneel to receive the Lord's Supper, or in the mutual admonition of the brethren that is with another Christian just encourages you with scripture at just the right time. Or it could apply to something like, say, exorcism and the casting out of demons. Or it could apply to something like, and I think this is maybe where the question wants to go, the direction of the answer, is like what happened to this invalid, right? This man who was unable to walk. What is the role of that kind of healing? Should we call it miraculous, non-demonic healing? And certainly you'll pass a number of signs on the road in St. Louis where you have people promising these kinds of things. I think of one particularly, a gentleman holding a whole bunch of crutches. Jesus does miracles, it says. He's holding all these crutches, right? Because all these invalids have been healed. What is the role of that in ministry today? And I think that question needs to be preceded by another question, which as Lutherans, in theory, we take for granted, although in practice, we don't always hold to what we have our formal principle be, which is, are we going to trust Scripture on this even over and against what we see? So let me just kind of put this in stark terms for you. We're talking hypothetically right now. So if the Scriptures actually had a chapter and verse that said, you need to know that there will be no more miraculous healings after the last apostle dies until Jesus comes back and heals everything. If there were a verse that said that, but then there was a preacher who claimed the name of Jesus that was doing healings, and you could see it. He actually didn't just, you know, kind of do semi-healings. He restored limbs, right? So people who had their arm missing, he grew it back. And it happened before your very eyes. But the Scripture said there will be no more healings. What do you do at that moment? Do you believe what you see, or do you believe what God has said? Do you question whether the Scripture is what God has said? Now, we certainly question the Scriptures over far more small things than that today, don't we? I mean, don't you have like a little nugget that bothers you somewhere? Closed communion, women's ordination, six-day creation, which one, right? So imagine now having to like say no to somebody who's healing limbs. But what if you also have other scripture passages that say things like, in the last days, there will come false teachers doing wonders and miracles so as to deceive maybe even the elect. Now that wasn't a quote, but that was a darn near paraphrase right there, right? So if you're going to ask the question, what is the role of healing in ministry today? The real question you got to answer first is, do I want to know what scripture says? Or do I want to have an answer based on what I want to believe, what I see, what I feel, what I desire? Now, again, this is no small piece of debate, and the history of Christianity has ebbed and flowed with different understandings of this because we don't have quite so clear a passage of Scripture as we would like on this matter, although I would contest that if you are careful with the texts that do speak to it, it's so clear that you can't argue, but that's me saying pay attention to the text, and I think you'll come to this understanding. It's not as clear as baptism now saves you in 1 Peter chapter 3, right? Or this is my body in all the synoptics in 1 Corinthians 11. Yet, funny, isn't it, how, well, we find ways to not believe those too. It doesn't really matter how clear it gets. If you decided you don't want to believe, you can not believe anything. So, the debate really is between two ideas. One called cessationism and one that is the belief that miracles have continued. Either they have ceased or they have continued. I can give you a little bit of a context here. In the history of the church, it was acknowledged by the church fathers very, very early that the miracles seemed to be going away. They were gone within 100 years or less. And everyone kind of like, what happened? We're not really sure. We don't know what happened here. But what did also happen at that same time was that every single one of, almost, the worst of the heretics out there, the anti-Trinitarians and the Gnostics and the Manichaeans and all these various groups that sought to destroy what the Bible actually says, you know what they were almost always claiming for themselves? The power to do miracles. The power to heal diseases. The power to speak for the Holy Spirit. The power for prophecy to continue. And the church had to stand against that, and that call and that claim of experience. And so very quickly, the medieval church became skeptical of such things. Now, in the later Middle Ages, that all shifted around again. And next thing you know, they're attributing miracles to finger bones, right? But not initially, not early on. And so that, you know, back and forth has happened. And you see in that history, the very, very danger here, right? Which gets back to my main question. Am I going to trust what Scripture says, or am I going to trust what I see? And when Jesus says to Thomas in the upper room, right, do you believe because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Is he hinting at something far more important than miracles? Well, I should say, than the kinds of healing miracles we would choose to have in this present age, as opposed to the miracle of that first resurrection from the book of Revelation, the faith which is created in the dead man, that you might breathe the Spirit of God again. Now, I'm not going to have time to give you every passage in Scripture and go through all the texts that apply to what I believe. And again, I'm kind of speaking for me here for the moment. What I have come to believe based on what Scripture says and what really is the practice of Lutheranism, which is that prophecy was a gift that has passed away. Tongues is a gift that has passed away. We don't forbid them. I don't say you're not allowed to do miracles. No. I'm just acknowledging that Paul says, as for tongues, they will cease. As per prophecy, it will pass away. But that there are things that haven't passed away, which are the word and the sacraments of God. And when the Old Testament and Zechariah prophesies that there will come a day when anyone who prophesies must be called false prophet because they're prophesying and it can't be done, well, we should take those words seriously. At the very least, work a little harder to discern, to test the spirits, as John says in 1 John chapter 5, to test the spirits of the age, and to believe that when in the New Testament, Jesus is constantly warning about false teachers, Paul warns about false teachers, Jude warns about false teachers, they attribute to them, often, magical powers. Then when we are going to go and ask the question, what is the role of healing, if any, in ministry today, we want to do so very, very carefully, recognizing that healings, if they exist, are by no means proof of either side. Right? Is by no means proof of either side. The only thing that proves anything is the Scriptures themselves. And so if you have someone doing healings, the first thing you should be asking is, what's he saying? What is he using these healings to preach? Jesus or himself? Jesus or you? Christ crucified? A cross? A stumbling block to this age? You being in tribulation and not getting everything you want now? Or is he preaching the present age as if it is the one real hope of the Christian life? And I think if you ask that question first, rather than the question about, can I have miracles now or not? And you look at what's going on out there, I think you'd be a little more, well, careful to go back to the text and then start asking about these other passages. What does it mean when it says prophecy will cease? You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I'll tell you what hasn't ceased. Jesus is coming back, my friends. May not be today or tomorrow, but it is going to be soon. I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.